This is episode 195 on January 26th, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I am Matt Hoffman.
Welcome back, Matt. How are you doing, man?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing?
I am doing good. Tomorrow's Friday. I'm working overtime, so I'm doing all right.
Awesome.
So what you been up to?
Oh, boy. Well, I always have to, like, go back into my camera roll and, like, look to see what did I do since we last talked. And, wow, I have quite a few pictures here, that's for sure. It was such a nice weekend this past weekend. It was very overcast, but man, was it warm. It may as well have been spring.
Sure.
You know, we had temperatures in the 60s, which is just crazy for the middle of January in Ohio, but hey, I'll take it. So we spent a lot of time outside, did a whole bunch of hiking. On Saturday last weekend, I managed to kind of stall enough on the hike that we were on because the sunset looked like it was going to shape up to be just incredible. And we were hiking around this like small lake, and my stall tactics work, and I was able to get a whole bunch of pictures of this really nice sunset, which made me very happy. And yeah, I have a bunch of other pictures that I'm still working on editing from some other places that we went in Ohio over the weekend. And another thing of note, at least for me, that happened this past week was I sold a picture on IM.
Woohoo! Nice.
Yeah. So it's about freaking time.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Yeah, and I got to say, I was pleasantly surprised. I'm not going to say, like, how much money I got, but I was pleasantly surprised with it. I literally thought – I'm sure it depends on, like, the license or whatever, you know, that the client or customer purchases. But it was significantly more money than I thought I would ever get for one sale on IM. So I'm pretty pleased.
Nice. Wait, when is your retirement party again? What time is that at?
No, I'm just kidding. You know what? That would be awesome. I wish I could do that.
Yeah. No, that's great. I think as photographers, we always strive for wanting to sell a print. And some people do it very well. Others think they can do it. Me. And then there's others that, you know, I know for sure, you know, can do it. And that would be Matt's images, because he's had some really nice ones. Well, very cool. Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah. This definitely isn't retirement money by any stretch of the imagination. I would have to do this, like, make a sale like this multiple times a day, every day.
Oh, we can hope.
Yeah. But in any case, I don't know. It's definitely a good feeling, and especially because the picture that sold is one that I don't think is like particularly like really good. Like apparently I thought it was like good enough to like share it on IM.
Yeah.
But like it's not one of my pictures that like if I had to make like a portfolio or something, it would never in a million years be in the portfolio.
Yeah.
But there must be, I don't know, like what the license is that like sold. So I don't know how the photo is going to be used, but I, you know, what the heck, it fit the customer's needs apparently. And I got some money for it. And it was, the cool thing too, is that, it was an iPhone picture. So I, you know, I took it with the iPhone. I took the picture last year. So I had, it was taken with the 6S Plus, and then it was pretty heavily manipulated. In fact, I even added lightning to the picture with an app.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you know what size you sold? You might have told me, but I forgot.
What size?
Yeah. Was this was a print you sold, or was it a digital image?
No, this probably would have been digital. So basically on IM, like with, you know, Getty Images and whatnot, you're selling like a license.
Oh, okay.
To the picture. So they're going to, you know, they're going to use it. However, I don't even know. It could be in a magazine for an ad for a prescription medicine. I don't really know. I have no clue how it's going to be used.
Geriatric medications. Sure. Well, very cool. That's awesome. See here. What have I been doing? I've been neck deep in training this week at work. And but one thing that I have been doing with my iPhone is if there's something that I need to document quickly or do a quick reference, is I've been taking pictures of different things with work at work so that I could remember, because sometimes I have things that are either thrown at me real quick or it's done in a specific manner and I need to remember. I've been using my iPhone to reference those types of things. So, you know, you can go and sell prints with your iPhone, or you can use it as a tool, almost like a hammer, and be able to sort of, I guess, cheat, not cheat, quick reference anything. So, you know, that's been the main, I guess, photography I've been doing, but I'm going to have to look into IM because I have great expectations with my photography.
Well, you know what? I will say this about it. I don't know if you remember like an episode or two ago when we were talking about, actually, I don't even know what we were talking about, but I mentioned that I was going to try to like broaden my horizons a bit with my photography this year. And it's going to be like a hard thing for me to do because I really love doing landscape photography, and I'm kind of photographer that just like takes pictures of like anything and everything just because it's there.
Yeah.
Right. Like I really need to like see something, like the subject has to do something for me to like make me want to take a picture. Right.
Sure.
But this picture I sold is like honestly kind of mundane, and I honestly don't even know why I took the picture in the first place. So that's got me thinking that like you never know, like especially when it comes to stock photography, like you just really never know like what's going to sell. Like I guess if you like really kind of look at stock photography, like a lot of it is actually like really just like mundane pictures, but you never really think about it because they're used often in advertising. So there's like a lot of other elements that end up getting added to the photo.
Sure.
But if you were to look at even like magazine covers, if you really look at the picture, it almost goes against like everything that you've ever been taught about like composition and photography, because you got to leave room for the print, you know, the everything like that. So, like I get emails, I don't know, once or twice a month from Backpacker Magazine with like basically their photo needs. And they're always kind of harping about needing cover photos. And they're always, telling, all the photographers to keep in mind like how the cover is going to get laid out. So like, you know, if you're going to, I don't know, like Mount Rainier or Glacier National Park or something, to like make sure when you're taking pictures of the mountains that you leave a lot of negative space because they need somewhere to put all the text on the cover.
Sure.
And that's kind of why I'm thinking maybe this picture I sold is going to be used in that context, I guess, because there is kind of a lot of like nothing in this picture. So there's all kinds of room for text, but it's kind of got me amped up now to just like take these pictures that I ordinarily wouldn't take, because in a stock context, like, you know, who knows, like maybe I'll sell more pictures this way, because not everyone's looking for, you know, a grand landscape, you know, or a sunset or something like that. And there's so much of that out there, you know. It's like, I'm sure I am. It's just like oversaturated with, you know, those types of images, you know, the stuff that I like to shoot. But if I do something different, that's a little bit out of my comfort zone, but still try to do it well, you know, maybe, maybe I'll get a few more sales that way.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and another thing too, is that like, I just figure, I mean, uploading a picture to IM is literally just kind of like the same thing as uploading it to Instagram. The only difference is that there's just like one little toggle switch that you could click that says add to marketplace, which is basically just,
that's your consent.
Do you want to try to sell it or not sell it? And I really don't do, you know, any of this to really try to make a buck. Like, you know, the photography I do for myself, which is 99% of the photography I do, I'm not taking the picture thinking about like, oh man, I really hope I could sell this picture somehow and make some money. But if they're going to make it that easy to where I could just upload it and share it, like I'm sharing it to Instagram and click a button and whammo, it's for sale.
Yeah.
Why not take advantage of that?
Yeah.
You know, and I just figure, even though, like, you know, you're not getting a lot of money for the sale, these aren't like exclusive licenses. It's not like you're selling it to someone for, you know, a nickel and you can't ever sell it again.
Right.
And then I also figure, like, I don't really care if it's a low amount of money. The alternative is I just don't sell it at all.
Right.
You know, so there's this picture that, you know, yeah, people are enjoying it on Instagram and Facebook and stuff, but otherwise it's not really doing me any good.
Yeah, some places will ask whether or not you have posted or sold an image prior to them having it on their system, because they try to work the licensing agreements to where if they're the only ones that have it and they can sell it for a much higher price, they don't want you posting it somewhere else where somebody can get it cheaper. And, you know, if it's plastered all over the place, most likely that the money that you will get for that image will be a lot less because it is out in the open. So that those are things you got to look for also.
Yeah. There's a lot going into it, but, you know, a lot of like contract stuff like that, but it just depends on the service that you're using. And sure. IM is like, it's pretty easy.
Well, that's cool. I'm going to have to dig in and actually look at IM and then start, preparing my images accordingly. cool. All right. Well, let me pull up this right here and do this. We'll do a little news.
News team, assemble!
All right. Last week, we kind of teased that Stylus had come out with their new cases for the iPhone, and thought it would be good to kind of go over that today. Stylus had sent out emails to those that were, what's the word I'm looking for? Subscribed. Thank you. I have to help myself think of words. if you're subscribed to their newsletter, you'll get emails, and you know they have a lot of things that'll come up. So I got this email about a week and a half ago. And they said that they had the new cases, and we've been kind of waiting for the new cases to come out. And so they did. But they said this has been redesigned. I know for at least the iPhone 7, when I tried using the case for the 6 and the 6S, it didn't quite fit right. And the camera was actually in a different position than what the 6 and 6S was for the 7. So I knew then that I wasn't going to be able to use my old case, which I was really bummed about. The lens face is actually larger than what the 6 and 6S is. And it was, I think, slightly offset from the position on the previous iPhone. And so I was like, oh, man, okay, so I'm going to have to wait for them to redesign the case for the 7. And so it's here. One thing that I'm a little concerned about is that I may not be able to use my old carousel that I had with my previous case. And the only reason why is because they said they redesigned it. Well, looking at the images, it looks like they have redesigned the look, but I don't know if they have actually redesigned the size or the connection for the 7. And so
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that they did not.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm saying that is because in the user manual, they show at the bottom of it other compatible attachments, and they show like the vent clip, which I had gotten for my stylus case for my 6S Plus last year. They show something called the Go Mount disc. I don't know what that is. I think it's something that you could mount like a GoPro camera to.
Oh, sure.
And then the LED ring light. And I haven't seen anything saying, like, if they redesigned the ring light, they would definitely make an announcement, you know, about that. And I haven't seen anything regarding that. So I would say that your current revolver carousel would probably fit. It's just a matter of whether or not the lenses will line up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about. And the other thing that concerns me is they don't give you the option of just buying the case. So right now, the options that you have is to buy the case with the revolver. And it's about $114, but they do have a 25% off code on their website. So I think they're wanting people to jump on that train. I'm kind of on the fence on whether or not I will buy it. I might, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be duplicating the wheel when it comes to having the lenses.
Yeah. For me, like, I don't have this revolver thing. I have a whole different stylus thing going on myself. But in any case, if I did have it, I don't know. I would probably not want to buy it again. It really just, to me, looks like the difference is just that the revolver piece with all the lenses in it, it just looks nicer.
Yeah.
You know, it has those brass accents. And they do say that they redesigned the lenses to have improved sharpness, which is always enticing. But I don't know. To me, it just looks like a few like cosmetic tweaks. I don't know if that would be worth spending the money again.
Yeah. Yeah. dilemma. So, yeah, I'm glad they finally came out with the case for the 7. Most likely, if Apple does do an S version of the 7, they will be able to use the same case, hopefully. And I'm kind of, I'm concerned. I don't, having two, you know, having this, like a 7 and a 7S does help, to make sure that whichever product they create for that phone, they'll be able to at least get a couple years out of it, without having to do a total redesign. But I'm kind of hoping that, the way they have the revolver, the carousel, that it is the same as the one before, just looks different, and that no matter what the case is, you should be able to pop it on and be able to use whichever revolver, you know, was produced.
Yeah. Well, I guess one thing you could do is like email them. That's or true. ask them on Facebook or something.
Yeah. Two questions. Will it work with the new case, and will there be an option to buy just the case? Because they had it before where you could just buy the case. That was an option for the 6 and 6S. So yeah. I would imagine that they could. They're probably just wanting people to buy the whole kit and forget about whichever revolver or lens system they had before. So
could be, yeah. I mean, even in the smartphone cases section of their website, they do not list the iPhone case for the 7 or 7 Plus. So, yeah, it's only in the revolver kit section.
Yeah.
Which is kind of frustrating if you have one of those phones in your particular situation, Joe.
Yeah. But, you know, like Mark says, first world problems.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose so.
All right. Well, we'll have links to all that. But if you're interested in the stylus, you've heard us talk about it. I have to say, the stylus company has made top quality cases, and the revolvers are fun. The lenses are fun. If you're thinking about, you know, a case, especially with a lens attachment, I highly recommend the stylus, and it looks like they're just getting better and better as they go along. It's very stylish too. And so we'll have links on our website for that. All right, let's do this.
Focus point.
All right. Well, sort of like what we did two episodes ago, we're talking about going back to basics with photography. We want this podcast to not only be fun, but educational and something that kind of pushes us with our craft. And today's subject is going to be motion. And motion is interesting when it comes to photography, because there you can have lack of motion, you can have full motion, or you can have a mixture of motion and still in an image. And depending on how you use motion can tell a whole story when it comes to your image. So I think it would be good to kind of talk about what motion is and from their perspectives. So I'll start off with this. Motion in a still image is sort of a blur or a motion that I'm trying to think of a better word instead of motion, where
movement. You can
a movement. Thank you. A movement from either left to right or right to left or forwards and backwards, or it can be, it could be an object in the image that has motion, or it could be the entire frame has that motion in it and nothing is in focus. And So let's start off by doing this. Matt, how would you be able to get motion in your image, say, whether it's digital or with a film camera?
Well, I suppose there's lots of different ways to do it, but depending on the type of motion that you're trying to capture, like if you're trying to capture something that's like streaking through the scene and you want to show, you know, that quickness, then one way to do that would be to use a slow shutter speed.
Sure. So with film and digital cameras, we have shutter speeds. And if you have taken an image with your iPhone or a smartphone, in the EXIF data, you can see how fast the shutter was and be able to determine if it was a fast shutter or a slow shutter. With our DSLRs, we can adjust the shutter speed so where if it's open longer, it allows for more motion. If it's a very short shutter speed, what it does is it freeze frames the image to where you're taking a glimpse of time and stopping it. Let's see, for instance, the slow shutter cam. Slow shutter cam is slightly different because I think what slow shutter cam does is it takes a combination of images and puts them together to create one. Would you say that's correct, Matt?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's just taken like a whole series of rapid succession pictures and then combining them together, and then the elements of the pictures that were moving end up being a blur when they're all combined together.
And that's how you use slow shutter cam, correct?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You and Mark love doing those waterfall images where if I was to just take a quick still shot of a waterfall, you can see droplets, foam, and the water be completely stopped. And for some reason, that's not a very good image, at least to our group. You know, somebody can go to a waterfall, take a picture of the waterfall, and be like, oh, I got a picture of the waterfall. Well, that's okay. But it's kind of boring. With a slow shutter, when you take that image, those individual droplets disappear and they create one flow or a continuous flow of water. And when you get that image where you have a continuous flow of water and then you have the background is in contrast to what the water is doing. And it creates tension. We mentioned tension in a previous episode when we did rule of thirds. Tension is what causes our eyes to be pulled to a particular subject. So in the waterfall images, that tension is created by the smooth silkness of the water in contrast with the hard, defined background or foreground of everything else in the image. And with that tension, your eye is drawn to it, and that's where an image becomes interesting. So you have motion that is of a particular subject. The other thing you can do with motion is moving the camera. When you move the camera and you have a slow shutter, everything in the image is in motion. It, if you have ever taken a picture with a film camera or with a DSLR, a lot of times you try different speeds with the shutter, and depending on how, you know, steady your hands are, the slower the shutter, the more likely you're going to introduce motion into your image. If you're really shaky, you want to use a much faster shutter speed. If you're say really good at holding still, you can get away with lower shutter speeds. And so I would say a good subject to get when you're moving the camera and you're wanting to take a picture of something would be either sports or automotive, where you're moving the camera and your subject is going to, you're following your subject. Let's say it's a football game and the quarterback throws the ball and the receiver catches it in midair. Well, he's not typically standing still. He could be going up or down or left or right. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to capture the receiver in midair as he's catching the ball, which means you have to follow him. And so either you need to increase the speed of your shutter so that you can freeze frame, or you can add a little bit of motion so that the story's told of kind of where he's going. Is he going fast? Is he going slow? So you can have longer. I was trying to contrast shorter with faster. You can have a longer shutter speed to add a little bit of motion to it. But if you look at Sports Illustrated, most of the time everything's freeze framed. There's rarely anything that is in motion. So it depends on what your subject is and who your audience is. That will help determine on how much motion you have. All right, Matt, would you have any ideas on that?
Well, let's talk about the panning thing for a moment. So panning is something that, like you've been mentioning, you know, SLRs and DSLRs, but panning is something that you can definitely do with your iPhone.
Absolutely.
So I've done it successfully several times, and it's actually not that hard to do. It does take a little bit of practice, but the number one tip that I could give if you're panning is to follow the motion even as you're tripping the shutter.
Sure.
So when you click the shutter button, whether you use the volume button or you're tapping the screen, don't stop moving the camera.
Follow Keep through.
Yes, exactly. Follow through, and you'll have a much greater chance of getting your subject sharp. So like in my case, one of the best ones I ever did was two friends on a motorcycle that were like, they were just kind of going by me, and I just happened to have my phone out and the camera going, and you know, I just decided to pan with them and take this shot, and the motorcycle and my friends is nice and sharp, but the whole, pretty much everything else in the picture, you know, has this side to side blur. So, you know, it really shows that they're kind of speeding away, even though they weren't really going that fast. But, you know, it turned out really good. And that was just the thing, was to keep the camera moving with them until it was done taking the picture.
Yeah, absolutely. When I shoot skeet with a shotgun, one of the things that was taught to me is that when you pull the trigger, just it's same thing as you do with the shutter. If you stop, that is exactly where the shot is going to go. So even though you may have tripped the shutter, and it was and where you tripped it, that the vehicle or the subject or whatever it is was, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden all the pixels had been written at that very second. So it could be off-centered or out of frame by the time it's done writing it. So following through is very important, because not only do you ensure that your subject is in composition with your frame, but you also allow for a lag in writing. It used to be with point and shoots, most people got very frustrated when they would press the shutter and it would take a second or two before it actually took the shot. We don't have that problem now, unless you set your camera up to do that. For the most part, our cameras, our smartphones are really quick. But that follow through ensures that your subject will be in the position that you want it in the frame. Dave asked, would this be where burst mode would help? I would say yes. Burst mode will help. A lot of times, especially with something that, let's say, your friends on the motorcycle, say if it had been strangers on a motorcycle, you would be like, oh, wait, turn around and do it again. Sometimes it's luck of the draw when you're able to get the image just right. Burst mode is something that you can use to be able to capture the image. But, we kind of joke and say that's like spray and pray. You just kind of, it's like machine gunning it, just brrr, and hope that you got one of those to look the way you wanted it to. Not to say that there's anything wrong with it, but, it is an option, and you never want to leave your options, leave anything out of an option when you have that choice. But, burst mode, practice. I was able to, I think with my 3GS iPhone, I was able to do this type of thing with my son. My son was probably 3 at the time, and I was sitting in a chair and he was running around my chair, just kind of like a satellite. And so finally I was like, I'm going to take a picture of this. And I was following him and I took the shot. And when I got the shot, he kept, like looking forward. I caught him kind of when he was starting to look at me. So he kind of has this sinister look in his eyes when he's looking over at me. But he was almost in focus, but everything else around him in the living room was in motion. And I was like, yes, that's awesome. That looks great, because it has that tension. And, I was able to do it with that little 3GS iPhone. Things that I used to do with a DSLR, I'm now able to do on my iPhone. And now we have apps like PureShot or 645 Pro or Camera Plus, where we're able to manipulate the shutter speed, where we're able to, change the balance to where we can add motion, or we can stop motion with our images. And so it's almost like we're able to take our DSLR and stick it in our pocket and be able to use those same features and create the images that we want. All right, Matt, what would you How would you use, how would you set up the shot for doing a waterfall? Uh-oh, did I lose him?
I should take myself off mute.
Oh, I was like, oh no, there goes Skype again.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Yeah, for a waterfall, if I'm going for a shot where I'm trying to get that silky flowing water motion, then I don't want anything else in the picture to be moving. So, I would definitely want to use a tripod. That would be like the number one thing, to keep the camera still.
Very good. Okay. And then, which app would you use? Would you use the slow shutter cam, or, and is there any other app that you'd use?
Yeah, slow shutter cam is definitely the app that I prefer to use. Camera Plus does have a they have a mode too for doing this type of photography. I don't really remember what it's called, but I think they have a slow shutter feature in their app.
Would you use the shutter release?
There's other apps out there. I just don't know what they all are.
Okay.
I'm sorry. What was your question again?
Would you use a shutter release or anything like that?
No, I don't mess with that kind of stuff. The shutter releases to me are just like a stupid piece of equipment that you really don't need, because almost every app has a self timer function.
Okay.
So, you know, the reason that anyone would use a shutter release is because when you're doing something where you have your camera on a tripod, and you're trying not to introduce motion to the camera, mm-hmm. when you're pressing the shutter button on the camera, then you're likely to, you know, shake the camera a little bit. So the shutter release just gets your finger off the camera, right?
Yep.
So, you know, it's just another piece of equipment to carry. And most apps, including slow shutter cam, have like basically like a self, like a timer kind of function. So I use that. I set it on like 2 seconds, so when I hit the button on the screen to take the picture, it counts down 2 seconds, which is more than enough time for all the shake to go away, and then it takes the picture.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any other examples or ideas for motion?
Yeah, there's just so many different things, you know, that you could capture with motion. Like you had mentioned automotive stuff, which is always a lot of fun. Like, you know, if you go to a car race or something like that, you know, that's a great place to practice panning. But, you know, experiment with motion both ways, both moving the camera and keeping the camera still and having something move through the scene. You know, another thing that I always love to photograph that involves motion is fireworks. You know, it's kind of delving into a different type of motion, like light trails, but sure. it's still motion. And, you know, the great thing about that type of photography is you just don't know like what you're going to get until the camera's done taking the exposure. You know, every time you press the shutter button, you're going to get a different result. So that's, you know, it's pretty fun and pretty exciting. Again, it's something that, in my opinion, you should use a tripod if at all possible. But yeah, I mean, there's so many different things, you know, anything that's moving that you could photograph is, you know, motion.
Yeah. Well, very cool. If you guys have any ideas on how to use motion in your images or different tips or stuff, go on to Facebook and, you know, let us know. We're, you know, anything that we do, you know, we don't know everything. And, you know, you may be yelling at your iPhone or whatever device you're listening on saying, well, what about this? What about that? You know. Let us know and, you know, let the group know. And, you know, this is stuff that we want you to be able to put into your tool bag and have to be able to use. Not only that, but be able to experiment with and just really do something different with your images. Because a lot of times we go through and, you know, start taking pictures, but then the pictures all start looking the same because we have that specific, you know, thing that we want to take a picture of, but we don't change, you know, how we do it or introduce different things like motion to your images. So I recommend, you know, trying it out, but also letting us know, you know, what else you can use it for. All right. Anything else that you wanted to mention on that?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I think it's time for us to move into our post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
All right, it is my turn. So one of the things that Matt and I discussed prior to the show is that there are a lot of good images in our weekly photo challenge, and we think this is, you know, such a great challenge. We want to extend it for one more week. I don't think we've ever done vertical lines before.
No, I don't think we have.
We've always done like horizontal or, you know, or other stuff like that. But I think we can, you know, get more people involved in this one because it is such a good challenge. We are going to extend it for one more week and see what others can contribute to that challenge. So that means we're going to go to the well, which is the Tiny Shutter hashtag in Instagram. And it is my turn. And let's see here. There was an image that caught my eye. Yeah, it's Jay Bennett 727, and it is of a single leaf that looks like it is holding on for dear life, and the image is quite striking. The background is out of focus, and the leaf and the twig, I wouldn't call it a branch, but the twig is in focus. And the leaf is chewed up, so it kind of has it's not perfect. But it was an image that I saw that I loved because of its simplicity. It's almost a rule of thirds type image. And the difference between the foreground and the background has a lot of tension in it that I really like this image. So, were you able to find it, Matt?
Yeah, I've been following Jay Bennett 727 for quite a while, and I definitely like his images a lot. He just has like a style to his pictures that I can't really pinpoint what it is, but when I see one of his pictures, I just know it's his.
Yeah,
and this picture is really great. It's definitely kind of showing like just that extreme last remnant of fall, really before all hope is lost and we're plunged into wintertime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It's definitely a very good picture. It's well seen.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that Ohio has been getting like 60 degrees. The last few days, and Mark would shoot me, but it's been in the 70s here in the South, which is quite odd. We've had pretty much like spring, late spring, early fall type days here. And it's a little disconcerting, but this image kind of with the raindrops kind of makes me wish for winter, because winters here can get cold, but a lot of times it's rainy and stuff, and I'm kind of missing the cold weather. I'm a little scared that if winter continues this way, I don't want to know what the summer is going to be like, unless it's a mild summer. But yeah, very much. I love the mood of the image. Well, cool. Congratulations, Jay Bennett 727. You are our post pick of the week. I don't know what I was going to say there.
I would have liked for you to have just continued finished with that, to be honest with
you. You are our post pick of the week. If you would like to be featured as our post pick of the week, go on to Facebook and look for our weekly photo challenge, which is pinned at the top of our group page. You will find a lot of good images in there, things that will inspire you, things that, you know, will challenge you to do better, or you can add images and have people ask you how you got the image, and you're able to explain your workflow and how you were able to capture or, get the finished product. You can also, submit your images to Instagram and use our Tiny Shutter hashtag to be able to add to the images, because we have weeks where we nail that weekly photo challenge. We have other weeks where we give people the opportunity to join in, and then we have other ones where it's such a good challenge that we want to extend it one more week. So when we do that, we go to the Instagram and use that hashtag to find our images. And we use these images as our album art, not only to bring color and life to our website, and for the album to be able to be a representation of what that episode was about, but also we want to showcase our listeners and be able to show people the beautiful images, the works of art that you, our listener, are creating. Because the show is not about me and it's not about Matt. Well, kind of a little bit. But, this show is really about you, the listener, and the art of photography. And so if this show was all about me and Matt posting images on the website as being our album art, people would probably go, these guys are full of it. But instead, we have these images of our listeners and what they create. And I think that adds a whole new element to this show. So.
Cool. I agree.
All right. Well, Matt, is there anything else that you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, there is just one little thing.
Sure.
All right. So Joe and I were talking before the show, and we're considering possibly maybe doing a question and answer show, maybe once a month or something like that. So we're still working out the format, but basically check out our Facebook group. I'm probably going to put a poll up on the Facebook group and nice. Ask you guys whether or not you would even want something like that. But the idea would basically be that you guys just submit questions to us and we'll compile them over the course of a couple weeks or something and then just do a show where we answer your questions to the best of our ability. Woohoo. Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. So it's just an idea, and we'll kind of see how it goes, but maybe this will be a new thing.
Yeah, that's exciting. You know, we get questions in the Facebook group, and sometimes we'll bring them up in the next episode if they're really good or something we feel that is definitely worth mentioning. So if we get people that will send us questions, and we get quite a few of them, we'll spend an episode trying to answer all those questions. And if we don't have the answers to them, then we'll definitely crowdsource and be able to get that answer. But I think that's a great idea.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you're on board.
All right. I think we're almost done. Oh, I will mention one more thing. Mark has worked on our Amazon link. And what this link is if you click on it, it'll show different kit that, you know, Mark uses. I'm going to add some. I encourage Matt to add also. We're going to compile an Amazon account that would show the different tools that we use with our iPhonography. That way, you can go there, see what it is, you can see how much it is, and buy it. And the show will get a little bit of a kickback from the sale, and that'll help Mark to offset the costs of the website and Mixler account and everything like that. But also, it would help you guys to be able to find what we use, see what we use, because we're not going to put anything on there that we don't use. This is all stuff that we have tried and that we have approved of. And so look for that. That link is always in our show notes. We'll probably, and we also have a link on the website. So it's already up, but we're going to be adding stuff to it as we go along. So just keep your eye out for that. All right, let me do this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
All right, Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right, you can check me out on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Herrera. You can find the show notes, links to whatever we're talking about, whether it's apps or devices or websites, by going to tinyshutter.com. There you'll also find links to our Facebook and our YouTube channel. And Mark's been getting some videos up so that you guys can, you know, kind of get a visual of what we're talking about. But the latest video that he has up there is on his what's in his bag. I highly recommend you guys go and watch that and be able to see what he's done. But also leave a comment and, you know, like the video. When you do that, other people are able to find it and be able to see it. And when they find it, they can find our show and hopefully tell their friends. So go ahead and do that. Well, I think we're done. Is there anything else you wanted to mention?
No, I'm all out of things to mention.
Woohoo! Then why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Remember, it's better to tell the truth.
And that's no lie.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe!
Barely.